Now, in today's one-on-one, Jan Richter's guest in the studio is political commentator Jiří Pehe, who in the 1990s served as an advisor to the late president. They discussed Václav Havel's role in Czech politics and society, his legacy for the future, and why he was such an inspiration to people around the world.
I think he was inspirational simply because he proved with his life that you can fight totalitarian systems, human right abuses with human decency. I think that his political program was just simple human decency. He gave this decency a name, truth and love, but basically his political program was to be decent.
He forged his major political thoughts in the 1970s, of course, when the oppression started again after the Soviet-led invasion of the country. How did it translate into his practical politics after he became president, after the fall of communism?
Well, I think that when he became the president, he was really in an uncharted territory, simply because he was catapulted into this position by history. I think that in the 70s, 80s, he still hoped to go back to writing and to be able to write in a free society. But instead, he became a politician, and so I think that he had to find his territory and had to find a way in which he would operate. Certainly, there were certain influences coming from the dissident era. For example, in the first few years, his concept of anti-political politics was quite present in his thinking. There was a certain mistrust of political parties. And although he eventually embraced political parties and sort of standard democratic structures, he still put a lot of emphasis on civil society, on morality and so on, kinds of things that you don't hear from professional politicians who actually entered politics through political parties and got to the top.
In one of his recent interviews, Václav Havel said he saw a direct link between the Charter 77 human rights movement, and then he named several political movements that appeared throughout the 90s and the first decades of the new millennium. How big do you think is that political stream within the Czech society that was represented in his day by Václav Havel?
Well, it is really difficult to say how big that stream is. I think that, in fact, his death to some extent has galvanized Czech society, and we can see that a lot of people you wouldn't expect to be followers of Václav Havel are now declaring that they actually have always shared his ideas, that they have been his supporters. So maybe the stream, the pro-Havel stream, the stream that actually follows his ideas is much stronger than we thought, especially now when a lot of people are dissatisfied with the corrupt nature of Czech politics, with clientelism and all of the other really pathological phenomena that we see in Czech politics. So in a way, we may see a renaissance of Havel's ideas, which certainly could be provoked by his death.
He was markedly less popular, or his ideas resounded much less at home than they did abroad for the last 20 years. Why is that? And do you think this might change after his death, unfortunately, but still?
Well, it's already changing. You can see that sort of the outpour of emotions is really huge, even from politicians who disagreed with Havel. So I think that there is a danger almost that he could become a myth before his political legacy is really evaluated in a proper analytical, critical context. So I see this as a certain problem, but at the same time, I think that this could have been expected because Havel was criticized at home very often for things which were, in my opinion, marginal. And I think this difference between the picture of Havel abroad and at home was a result of this, because, quite frankly, looking at Havel from the United States or from West European countries was different, because they didn't really get bogged down in these details, the day-to-day functioning of Czech politics and various other problems that Czech society faced. Whereas here in the Czech Republic, Havel was very often criticized for intervening with this or this, or doing this and this, and the big picture disappeared. And this big picture was his courage, the fact that he had big ideas, that he fought as one of the very few people very courageously against an inhuman regime, and that he was a decent man. I think that that somehow got blurred or in some ways even forgotten, and now I think it's all coming to the surface. So I think that we are seeing sort of a change here, and the domestic perception is now quite quickly nearing the perception of Havel abroad.
In one of the documentaries, Václav Havel complained that for Czechs he embodies their conscience from the communist times, when he suffered in jail and other people didn't do anything, just sat at home doing nothing, collaborating, some of them, with the communist regime. And now they don't want their conscience from the communist time to do things they don't want it to do, which was limiting. Was that an accurate description of his position with the Czechs?
Absolutely. Havel was, in the first few years after the Velvet Revolution, Havel became a symbol of something that he couldn't really live up to. Because in many ways, people projected into him their ambitions. They projected into him what they would have wanted to be if they were more courageous. And so he became, of course, very quickly kind of politician who really couldn't live up to these expectations. And then when the first failings came, or first problems, suddenly a lot of people almost started hating him, because he wasn't, in their eyes, anymore the kind of person they thought he should be, something above humanity almost. And certainly Havel was aware of that. He was a very smart man, and he was aware of this very, in a way, dangerous role that he played. Also, I think that he provoked a lot of people by making moralist appeals, by telling people that they should be politically active, they should work in civil society, and occasionally criticizing, although he wasn't certainly arrogant in this sense, criticizing the fact that a lot of people didn't do much during the communist times. And all of that, I think, contributed to the fact that on the one hand he was revered by a lot of people, but on the other hand, when they actually discovered that Havel is human, for example, when he married Dagmar Veškrnová, and sort of disappointed a lot of people who expected him to be sort of a saint after the death of his first wife, all of a sudden his popularity dropped sharply.
Where do you think that courage came from? What he did, of course, was very courageous. He was already an established popular author, a playwright whose plays were staged all over the world. Why do you think he actually sort of threw all that away for a life of surveillance and occasional prison time?
Well, I think at first it comes partly from his family history, because he was born into one of the wealthiest families in Czechoslovakia, and a very well-known family, and because of his class origins, as they used to call it, he was persecuted already as a young man, and he couldn't study what he wanted and so on. So I think very early on he developed a very critical attitude towards the communist regime, despite the fact that I think that he was basically in his mind throughout his life a leftist. He certainly wasn't a big admirer of capitalism and so on. I think that he was basically a leftist liberal. But still, the regime didn't treat him nicely, and I think that in the 50s in particular contributed to his entire regime attitudes, and he was, in a way, for the rest of his life, influenced by this. But on a more general level, I think that what fueled Havel's very courageous behavior was his decency. He simply didn't like the communist regime because it was an indecent regime. He was very bright, very intelligent, and he didn't like the communist speak and bureaucracy and all the absurdities of that regime. And I think because he was a decent man, he actually found courage to say these things openly. And this is really remarkable because I knew Havel very well, and I have to say that he wasn't by nature a courageous man. He was a shy, timid man who I think had to find a lot of inner strength to openly face the regime.
He won and the regime lost, which of course was greeted by probably all Czechs back in 1989. Would you say he was a successful president as well, as successful as he was a dissident?
Well, in some ways, he was more successful than the country deserved. And I'm saying this because I think that he created, if we take into consideration that the main task of the president is to represent the country abroad, that his main role is really is not in domestic politics, then he succeeded marvelously. And as I said, he maybe succeeded even more than he should have, because he created a kind of image for the Czech Republic which it didn't deserve. The outside world viewed the Czech Republic through Havel. And I met a lot of people abroad in the United States, in Western Europe, who thought that we have a lot of people like Havel, because where would he come from? And then when Havel stepped down, all of a sudden this new face of the Czech Republic appeared, very pragmatic, cynical, corrupt, and so on. And I think he basically created a facade for the country which it didn't really deserve. I remember teasing him a few times, and I said, you know, you are engaged in deceptive advertising because you have managed through your own personal story create an image for the country which this country certainly doesn't deserve.
In his obituary, the New York Times said he personified the soul of the Czech nation. Do you think that is true?
I would say he personified what's good in the soul of Czech nation. He personified what the Czech nation aspires to and what many people in the Czech nation would like to be. But an overwhelming majority of them will never be. And that was also the kind of curse that Havel had to live with, because even during the dissident times, during the normalization regime, before I emigrated from Czechoslovakia, I met a lot of people who would be disquieted by the fact that there are people like Havel who oppose the regime and possibly make things more difficult and so on. So he was really an exceptional man who followed his own route.
You served as political advisor to the late President Václav Havel for about 2 years. What did you find working with him? How was he in personal relations?
Well, actually, his personal side is the most enjoyable memory of my time with Havel, because I left my post as the chief political advisor after 2 years simply because I didn't enjoy being part of the bureaucracy and the protocol and so to speak. It was too constricting, but what I really enjoyed was Havel. He was simply a great boss and a great colleague, a great sense of humor, irony, and although I worked for him at a time when he was not well, he went through two very serious illnesses and almost died in 1998. He still handled all of this with grace, and when he was actually okay, he was a joy to be around. Very intelligent, a very good sense of humor, great ideas. What else can anyone wish for in his boss?
Political commentator Jiří Pehe, former advisor to the late President Václav Havel. He was speaking there to Jan Richter in today's One on One.